We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? And I read that last statement with great relief, as I knew this book was getting ready to condemn me for what I had been in the past. I knew it was getting ready to tell me what I was going to have to do in the future. And I'd made up my mind that I wasn't going to pay any attention to it at all. And I'm real glad to find out that we're not going to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We simply are not going to get into that. You know, if we start trying to tell people how to conduct their sex lives, what they can do, what they can't do, then surely we're going to begin to alienate people. Besides that, what's sexually acceptable in one part of the world may not be acceptable at all in another part of the world. So we're not going to get into that particular question at all. What we are going to do is see a way to review our own past sex conduct, see what we've been doing with it, see if we've hurt other people, and see if maybe we can develop a new sex life in the future where we can still engage in it, still enjoy it, yet at the same time not hurt other people. And basically that's the whole purpose of this little sex interview here, simply to see what we're going to need to do in the future in order to be able to engage in it, enjoy it, and not hurt others, Joe.
I'm certainly not going to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct, because whenever I tell you about where I got my information, you'll not want to know anything from me, I can tell you that. Said many of us needed overhauling in that area, and certainly I did too. Well, now I'm 12 or 13 years old, and my dad is out of the nut house. By the way, he was too dangerous to stay in Oklahoma, so they sent him to California. Right out of the nut house. Southern California. And so now I need to know about sex. I was thinking about this a lot. I mean, a lot. Almost got brain damage. And, well, I probably did get a little brain damage. So I didn't have anyone to talk to, so I went to my mother. And I said, Mom, I've been thinking about sex. And, boy, you should have seen. She just jumped. She said, oh, my God. Scared the heck out of her. So, oh, my God, Benny Joe. That's my name. You shouldn't be thinking about stuff like that. That's a dirty, filthy, rotten thing to think about, she said. And you ought to save it for the one you love. Besides that, she said, you shouldn't have sex unless you want to have children. Well, I figured that out right quick. She had 5 children. She had sex 5 times. No wonder my dad was in a nut house, I guess. So somehow I didn't believe that. I just didn't believe that. And we had sex education when I went to school, except they called it recess. You know, I learned a lot of things at recess about sex, but I still was interested in it. And I went to the Jenkins Cafe, and there were some older men and women, about 10 years older than I am, who knew all about it in front of the Jenkins Cafe, the men and women, and God, they just knew everything about it.
About 16 years old.
About 16 years old, very well informed, and they loved to share with me all their experiences. And those little guys was telling me how often they were going out with these women, how many different times they would have make sex, make love with them at night, and my eyes got that big around. And I believed everything they said. The fallacy of all that is that I believed all that stuff way after I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I never could live up to what I heard on the streets. And so, therefore, I was disappointed all the time. And I know the first time I got to looking at this inventory process, I remembered again what it said here. I'm going to find the facts and face the facts. I'm going to look at my ideas, emotions, and attitudes of where I got my information from. I'm going to engage in a process to accept the facts. You know, the first time I went out after I got married, the first time I went out, the next day hurt. I mean, I really felt bad. I didn't know you were supposed to feel bad. When a boy, who would have told me that? I felt bad. I mean, really bad. And the next time I went out, it wasn't quite so bad as the first time, and didn't feel quite so bad. And as time went by, I got to where it didn't hurt at all. And unfortunately, the thing with principles is, if you don't have any principles to live by, ultimately you don't have any reasons to live. And that's one thing the compromising of principles did for me. And that's where I found myself prior to Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank God I was able to look at this sex thing with the help of a lot of other people, because I told you I was dumb as a sack of hammers when it come to this idea. And I needed help from other people who seemed to know what they were talking about, really know what they were talking about. By the way, how many of you got your sexual information somewhat like I did? Yeah. When I arrived at Alcoholics Anonymous, I had the spiritual knowledge of a 6 or 7 or 8 year old boy. I had the coping skills of an 8 or 9 or 10 year old boy. And I had the sexual knowledge of a 12 or 13 year old boy that I learned off the streets from people that didn't know any better about it than I did. You think I didn't need inventory to find out what was true and what wasn't true for me so I could live? Now, that's what the inventory is about.
How about the first time?
Oh, yeah. Charlie likes me to tell you about the first time I had sex. I was very selfish, and I was dishonest and self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate, and I was also alone. But anyway, I like to discuss it with me. No.
That's why he's wearing glasses today, too. Me, too. Every time we say that, I look out there at about 10 of you guys that whipped your glasses off and put them in your pocket. Okay, let's look at this next set of instructions. We also got another little inventory sheet. And again, to avoid confusion, we've made these inventory sheets basically all the same except for a different subject matter. And you're going to see about the same set of instructions to review our sex conduct as we had for our resentments. It's worded a little differently, which is Bill's way of doing things. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. So in this little inventory sheet for our sexual review of our sexual conduct of the past, column 1, who did it hurt? Now, I doubt if anybody in this room ever hurt anybody in a sexual area that we don't know just exactly who that is. That seems to be a form of knowledge that we all have. There may be some question as to, well, what do you do to hurt them? And I think we hurt people in a sexual area in many, many ways. You know, if I'm in a married relationship, I go outside of my marriage and I have sex out there, and my wife finds out about it, then surely I've created a problem for her. If not physically, at least emotionally. If the lady I had sex with out there, if it becomes common knowledge, then I've hurt her too. And if she has a husband and children, I've hurt them also. And one sex act could hurt several different people. I think sometimes we hurt people in the sexual area simply by demanding more than our fair share. Maybe our partner isn't too keen about having sex every time we want to. Rather than consider their needs and wants, we selfishly demand that they have sex with us when they really don't want to. Surely when we do that, we create a problem for them, if not physically, at least emotionally. I think sometimes we hurt people in the sexual area by demanding that they do things with us sexually that they really don't want to do. And once again, rather than consider their needs and wants, we selfishly demand those things. Surely we create a problem for them and hurt them, if not physically, at least emotionally. I think sometimes we hurt people in the sexual area simply by withholding sex. Maybe we're not too keen about sex every time our partner wants to.